Hello, readers. My name is Augusta Scattergood, and I'd love to share a portion of my middle grade novel, Glory Be, with you. Glory Be, Hanging Moss, Mississippi, 1964. Chapter 1. Couldn't Hardly Spit. What was taking Frankie so long? We needed to hurry. Franklin Cleta Smith has been my best friend since we hunted doodlebugs together in my backyard. Some people call him Frankfurter because he's got hair the color of a hot dog. I call him Frankie. I squinted down the sidewalk, and finally, here he came, dragging his towel with his bathing suit hiked way up. It's 1,000,000 degrees out here. I've been waiting forever. Well, hey to you too, Glory, he said. I stood up and grabbed my swimming bag. Where have you been? I cut through Miss Simpson's backyard. He wiped the sweat off his glasses with the bottom of his T-shirt. Then I had to turn around and run down the alley when her mangy old hound dog took off after me. Don't worry about that dog, I told him. He's half blind, just barks at what he can't see. Some dogs run 40 miles an hour. He announced that like it was the gospel truth. Frankie was always saying stuff that sounded like it came straight from his World Book Encyclopedia. Let's go, I said. It's so hot I can't hardly spit. Jocelyn's already at the pool. She might up and decide she's bored and leave before I put my big toe in the water. I scratched at a mosquito bite and tugged at my bathing suit under my shorts. The backs of my legs were burning up from sitting on the concrete bench outside the library. I couldn't wait to feel the water's coolness, to dive in and flutter kick all the way to the shallow end. Frankie yanked at his towel. I hope the pool's even open, he mumbled. Wait a minute, I said. It'll be open. I'm going swimming. Why would they close the community pool now when everybody needs a place to swim? I heard something. He stared up at a noisy mockingbird perched in the shade tree in front of the library. Anybody watching Frankie would have sworn that mockingbird was the most interesting critter in the universe. About cracks needing fixing. Nobody's closing our pool. Where'd you hear that? My daddy. But it's a secret, Frankie answered, and headed off like he hadn't said a thing. Your daddy? What does he know? I raced after him, all the time thinking, why in tarnation would our pool be closing on the hottest day of the summer, just 12 days before the 4th of July, my 12th birthday? And what was the big secret, anyhow? Author's note. This is a work of historical fiction. It is based on reading and research, interviews with friends and family, and especially on my own memories. It is a made-up story with some very true parts. Seeds of Glory Be were planted the summer I was a college student working in the Mississippi Delta hometown where I was born. The library where I interned was almost shut down by a very vocal trustee who didn't want just anybody, which meant anybody who wasn't white, using the books. Like Miss Bloom, my librarian didn't let that happen. That same summer, another librarian introduced me to a young, white, civil rights worker from Ohio who spent a lot of time in our Bolivar County Library. Her story wedged itself into a memory crevice, ready to emerge in the form of historical fiction. Many years later, I imagined that teenager as Laura Lampert. My sister and I made up the game of junk poker, and I was probably as bossy as Jocelyn. I actually visited Elvis's little Tupelo house before it became a shrine. Like Glory and Emma, I read every single Nancy Drew book with my beloved Alice. My own daddy was not a preacher, but, like Brother Joe, he taught his children a lot about right and wrong. When Robert Kennedy came to my hometown in the spring of 1967, he toured the black neighborhoods and spoke to the editor of the local newspaper. I took liberty with the truth and changed the date to fit my story. In 1964, the town I lived in did not have a public swimming pool. Neighboring towns, however, did have pools that closed. With the goodwill of local ministers, librarians, teachers, and other community leaders, my town managed to keep our fireman's park and our public school system open and intact. My white friends and I, who grew up in Mississippi and spent Freedom Summer in the South, agreed that, unlike the sisters in my story, we only really understood, much later, the events that swirled around us. I once thought this book was about sisters, how they grow apart and come back together. Then smart, important people showed me it was about more than sisters. Still, I would not have remembered the details of the summer of 1964 without my own sister and my friends who became part of the telling. Although I lived in the middle of the most impoverished part of the South during very turbulent times, I wish I could say I was Glory or Jesslyn. Gloriana June Hemphill and her sister were braver than I ever knew how to be. There's a saying that Mississippi grows storytellers. I was raised with stories told around the Sunday dinner table. Most nights, my grandmother dreamed up new bedtime tales for us. English teachers and librarians introduced me to the very high bar set by my state's great literary heritage. Since I was old enough to listen, I've been hearing Mississippi in my head. This is one story I needed to share.